Welcome to part two of Front Page Football's Mega Over-Unders A-League Men Season Preview Pod. If you would like to learn about the concept of over-unders and what it means for this podcast, then please go and listen to the explanation I provided in part one. We released part one yesterday. So part two is going to pick up exactly where we left off in part one, with Petter, Jake, and myself going through the remaining six teams in the competition. So, without further ado, enjoy part two, and we'll be back right after this. Okay, so we've got six more teams to go through in the over-unders. We will do our best to move through it a little bit quicker than the first seven. But yeah, no promises are being made here. So Melbourne City is next. Melbourne City's over-under is sixth because that's where they finished last year. Jake, you're on Victoria. You follow this team relatively closely. Over-under, what are you taking?
Yeah, I've got them under just about. I'll probably have them sort of fighting for finals. I could make it, but yeah, I'm actually currently, to sort of plug the future me, I'm currently writing an article about them, previewing them. So I'll be more in-depth thoughts there. But my thing with them is, yeah, like they've lost a lot of players. Like Tolga Arslan, for me, is the best player in the league, gone. They've lost their, you know, the league's top goal scorer. Yeah, he had a tough last season, but still it's Jamie McLaren. And even then, you know, Curtis Good left, Nuno Race left. That's a lot of players gone. Even like Natel and Yakalis, like, yeah, they weren't great, but that's a whole, like, their starting lineup, like, half are gone, like, already. And you have, for example, the likes of, like, I'm saying the likes of Lecky and Nabu and Tilio. They're not new signings, but, for example, they've brought them back and have had interrupted seasons. So, in a way, they could act like new signings and really propel City to, you know, be the team we know, you know, we've seen for, you know, the past couple of seasons. But I don't know. I'm personally not the biggest fan of Aurelio Vidma. I just have not been convinced with him as a coach. I just don't think he's shown that he, like, should have a team of this quality. I'm just not sold on him. I haven't really seen anything that's impressed me with his sort of ability to take this team to where they probably should be. But again, probably a bit unpredictable, as even, for example, Quinn, that seems like an interesting signing in center mid. So I'm interested to see him, and even Cohen. Like, there's a couple of new signings we just don't really know a lot about right now. But yeah, I don't know. And even Truan, I actually really like Truan as a signing too. I think he has the potential to go sort of skyrocket as well at City. But yeah, I don't know. I'm probably having them just sort of missing out in finals at the moment.
Petter?
Yeah, seventh. I have them seventh, slight under, just like Jake said. I think keep Tilio and Lecky fit for the whole season and they make finals.
Yep.
But I just don't see it happening. Tactically, yeah, Vilma's a bit inconsistent. He's tried some new things. He's then gone back to some things from the past. He's rotated. The squad looks completely different now. Over the years, I've been like really, really high on City, and even when they were winning and losing grand finals, I just thought they were like a fantastic football team. Now I think it's basically a transition year, and I don't have strong views on them. So I think they can make finals, but a lot of things will have to go their way. For now, I'd say they're just below.
I actually changed where I put them when Jake started talking, because he actually made a couple of points where I went, oh yeah, I didn't actually think about that. Because for me, I was thinking about them today, and the squad turnover thing, like, again, the second season in a row, they've had big squad turnover. And if you look at the successful teams, they didn't have much squad turnover. They were able to keep hold of most of their players year on year. And it just feels like as a club, they're maybe just struggling, or they're having to kind of deal with that now. And like, is, for example, the Wanderers is an example. I've had to deal with that for many years. in a row. Now, whether that's by design or not is a, I guess, discussion for another day. But I think the point around the health as well is really interesting, because Tilio and Lecky, you just don't know. And it's not so much like if Tilio or Lecky aren't available for extended periods, like there just isn't that player that can come in that you're absolutely sure can have a similar sort of impact. So it's, yeah, on second thought, when Jack was talking, I was like, yeah, actually, I might have been too high on them initially. And I actually got the chance to see them on a few days ago, because they were here in Adelaide, played a friendly against Adelaide at Cooper Stadium. And so Naboo was playing as a nine, which was interesting. Politidis was playing as a left winger in that game as well. Also, Atkinson was playing as a left back too. Now, I don't know, and he was inverting inside, moving into midfield. I don't know if that's because, well, obviously, Bayich was away on national team duty, so it might have just been something for that specific game. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Like, Jurkacevic was still being used further forward, like he was last year, as like a you know, more of a number eight or 10. And these foreigners they've got, like, they're out of most of the teams, like, I think you can trust them more than others to actually bring in the right foreigners. But can like Kuen really be at the level of Arslan? Like, probably not, you know? So it just means that these other pieces, like the Naboos, the Lekis, the Tilios, Jegos, like, have to be, you know, really, really good, have their really good seasons. If they can do that, then yeah, I think, you know, we'll see a decent team. But I've got them neither. I've gone just to finish sixth, exactly the same as last year. And they do have, so like Patrick Beach was in goals, not Jamie Young on Saturday, which was interesting. So
was Young on the bench? Like, was he?
Yeah, he was. No, he was in the squad, but he was on the bench. So I'm not very sure. Interested to see this weekend, like, is Beach going to start at Newcastle? Because if he does, then, you know, that's something there. Zane Schreiber also started in that game too. Could we see him start on Saturday? So I don't know. Like, they seem to be, like, they are having to get a little bit younger too, like the rest of the league, despite, you know, having the embarrassment of riches behind them being a City Football Group club. But I'm not sure if they're necessarily, like, I think they know that they're transitioning into a different period, but maybe it's just another season where they're going to kind of be in that sort of mid-table region. And maybe if things go their way in terms of fitness, they can be better. In terms of the foreigners, Petter, Cohen, the Israeli player too. He actually came off the bench on the weekend, Shaman Ferreira, I've probably absolutely butchered his last name, the defender. Any word, I guess, on them? Anything we can expect?
Talking about foreigners, City had a habit of buying central defenders from Bulgaria. Surprised they haven't signed another one this year. But yeah, I've seen a fair bit of all of them, actually. Cohen, the Israelian, I watched a couple of years ago, maybe like 4 or 5. So back in the day, I think he was a fairly solid player for the Israelian level. And overall, I think he's a good addition if he can stay fit, if he can get used to the way City want to play. I think he's going to be a decent success. I'm just not sure if he's exactly a number nine type of player. He's a bit more mobile. He's not... He can play across the front line, if we can say that. The other guys, how was the name of those Austrian midfielder?
Andreas Kuhn.
Yeah, I watched him when I worked for Football Radar a couple of years ago. He was playing for maybe was Linz. Sorry if I can't remember the club specifically, but he's a pretty decent set piece taker. His numbers back in the day were fairly good in terms of chance creation. So I think he's going to be not a like-for-like replacement for Arslan, because Arslan's much better dribbler. He's better in tight spaces. He's better at taking on multiple players. He's like that ball progressing machine where if you need to get out of pressure or you're playing against tight blocks, I think he can break them down on their own. Owen's a bit different. He's better physically. He's more powerful. So I've seen him compared to Van de Ven, and I think that's fair in terms of profile. Not sure if he can reach the same peak, but I think he's going to be an interesting addition. And another shout out should go to Kai Truen. I think he's a very, very good player. Would be interesting to see how he'll be used. I think FC City build up in a 3-2. I think he's very good playing as one of the outside center backs of the three. So let's see how Widmar is going to adjust that part of the build up.
Okay, so Jake and Petter, you've gone the under, slide under, and I've gone the same as last year. So, and neither of you are locking that?
Nope.
Nah.
Nah, yeah. Sure. Again, another team that's just a little bit uncertain. Okay, MacArthur is next. The Australia Cup winners. Jake, the over-under is fifth. You're going to take the over, going to take the under. For the team that can't stay out of its own way when it comes to news headlines off the pitch, but actually they've been okay on the pitch in the last 12 months or so. What are you taking?
Yeah, I have them slightly under. Might be a little bit controversial, obviously, after the Australia Cup final. But yeah, I have them sixth, so I think they'll just sneak in. I think Antonio said last season, the pack. I think it's going to be a bit of a pack this season as well.
You're going to bring back the pack analogy.
I didn't mind it. It was pretty good. And I think it's going to happen again this season. You're going to have those teams that are probably at the bottom, probably just a bit far off, sort of the teams sort of compete for finals. I think they're going to be one of them. There's a lot to like about them. Like I did like the way, I think Keely was saying it really, really well, sort of how I was really interested to see like how, yeah, there's a lot of emphasis on the way they defend as a unit, defend as a team. I really, really like that. And yeah, I think the Australia Cup performances alone, like Philip Curto, unbelievable. Like he can simply just win games on his own, which is pretty unreal as a goalkeeper. You know, you don't see that often. Maybe Alex Paulsen, I guess, is another one. But yeah, so I like that. Yakalis, I really was interested to see how he was starting to play. Obviously, at City, I think only got one goal all season, but created a lot of chances and got 5 assists, but like his creation numbers were, you know, very, very good. One of the highest in the league. But yeah, he'll start to show a bit more, eye for goal, maybe grabbed, I think, 2 or 3 goals in MacArthur's run, obviously the winning goal for the cup. So he looks good. And obviously Germain is fellow Germain. So there's good players, but I don't know. I think maybe it's not, the quality of, the top teams in the league. So I probably have them sort of around that mid-ish table, probably make finals. I think they're good enough to make finals. They're sort of that team that can get the results there, but I don't know. I don't see them go any higher personally.
Petter, what are you taking, the over or the under?
You have to bear with me here, but I've taken a significant under here.
Ooh! Not sure if it's so
popular, but go. I think... I have to say my job, big part of my job is not to be biased, but I think I'm being a bit biased towards possession-based football, and I think a lot of people have overestimated MacArthur based on their cup run recently, and I think as Pep Guardiola said a while back, it's a lot harder to win the Premier League than to win the Champions League. And I don't think that's specifically applied to those tournaments. I think it's simply a lot harder to win a league than it's to win a cup. And there's a lot more randomness in winning a cup competition than it is to winning a league. And I think, and In terms of the job Miles Terzovsky is doing there, I appreciate it. I think I like the variety in the way he approaches some games. I think he's adaptable. That's a good thing always for a coach. And I like a lot of their players, but I think that squad's massively imbalanced. I think they've ignored a lot of positions. I won't call names because I don't want to, but I think they've massively ignored some of the positions in the team for the last 2 or 3 years, and I think they'll be heavily reliant on two or three individuals. I think, as you said, Jake Jakulish, he's a chance creation machine. He's just like volume, Bruno Fernandes-esque, so spamming crosses, and he's really good at it. It's just not incredibly random. I think he's good at hitting the target, and I think when Germain and Sawyer are fit, I think he might they might be really dangerous in that in the opposition box. But I just think they don't have the all-around quality around those crucial players. And I think an injury to Germain or Bratton, for example, might change completely the way they have to play, which is not a good thing. I think, for example, even when City are injured, when City have like injured, yeah, he's a big difference maker, but they don't completely change the way they play based on his absence. In McArthur's case, I think when if they get Germain injured or they get Bratton injured, they just have to completely change the way they play because they don't have players like them around.
I
So yeah,
have
I
to,
have them.
yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I have them 10th currently.
Oh, there we
Jeez.
go.
Wow. Okay. Are you locking that or no?
Yeah.
Oh, he is. Wow.
Bang.
Bang.
Okay.
Under and the lock. Far out. So I have to agree that I love how Petter mentions that he has a bias against teams that don't like the ball. I agree. It's why I've mentioned on this podcast before that I can't stand watching South Melbourne play, for example. But what I would say though, so I had them the same. I think fifth, because we spoke about this after the Australia Cup final, me and Jake. And although Petter, I think, makes a really good point about how playing in a cup competition is different to a league, MacArthur have this ability to make to kind of just sap, bring the other team down to their level, I guess, and kind of make games.
Just
Just
chip.
shit is the term that I used. And I think in the A League, that's actually when you've got so many teams that don't really know who they are tactically and week to week are changing, or maybe they've got unavailabilities. Like MacArthur, at least they know who they are and what they're going to do. That's kind of my case for them, is that they've got an identity, even if it isn't a great one. And that's why I feel that they'll just be solid enough to be in that sort of middle of the pack. But I have to agree. And I mean, again, we can say this for any team in the league, but I think you make a really good point that they are reliant on German in terms of the way they play, which is, I think, different to some of the other teams in the league. Like, let's look at, I don't know, Melbourne Victory as an example. Like, they've got someone like Nikos Vergos. Let's say he's a really good striker for them. If he goes down and Fornaroli is still there, like, it doesn't really change things too much, as an example. I'm sure there's countless others that are probably better than that. But, their ability to, I think, defend as a unit and do it well could really help them. I think as well, like, Yakalis, I think, could be possibly one of the better players in the league this year. Who knows? Like, he's. Yeah, I think he has been really good in the Australia Cup and will be one of their better players. And also, like, someone like Economides, maybe a different environment, a new lease of life, who knows, could kind of just get him back to playing at a level closer to what we've seen him, let's say, at like Perth, for example. Who knows? But yeah, and of course, having one of the best keepers in the league helps as well in Curto. So yeah, that's kind of my case for them. to just be a pretty solid, stable, but boring, yeah, team. Yeah, I don't think, like, I think some of the individual players are definitely fun to watch, but I don't think as a team they're the most exciting. I think that's probably fair enough. So, yeah, yeah, Petr, yeah.
Just a quick one. I think you made a very good point regarding their identity. I think Mille should get a lot of credit for that, because they genuinely lacked identity before that. Like, if you remember the first season, they were focused on keeping the ball, playing a lot of smart passes, keeping meaningless possession. After that, their next season was completely different under Milicic. They just, I'm not sure what they even played. Like, it was so random. And their third season with Dwight York was like catastrophic. So credit to him for finding that balance, I guess.
And he's a good fit for them because he knows the players in the area, and he came through the NPL team. So yeah, it definitely, it's one of those appointments that works for them, I guess. So yeah, okay, Sydney FC.
Sorry, Jack. One more thing. So, firstly, Craig Noon at right wing back was definitely something. I'm so happy I got that memory back. Thank you for reminding us, Petr, with Milicic. And secondly, with Yakalis, though, so obviously when he came, there was that sort of thing. He was like, oh, you know, I came for the Socceroos. Everyone laughed. What do we think now? You know, especially he is eligible. If he has, you know, continues up with his form, is he someone to consider? I was actually thinking this sort of for the most recent one with Tony Popovic, obviously. Croatian links there too. I don't know. I think that could be something to watch, maybe.
Potentially. Petr, do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I think looking at him in terms of A-League level, I think he can be really, really good. I just feel that maybe at international level, he has some limitations that I think he could be really good for the Socceroos if he's simply playing the games against the lesser opposition, against teams that sit back and just camp in their box. But against better teams, I just think physically he's someone that 1v1, one of the better defenders just simply won't be fussed about facing him.
Okay, Sydney FC. I think a team all three of us here are quite intrigued by and definitely want to talk about. So, Jake, over-under for Sydney FC. The over-under's fourth.
Yes. I have them slightly under, but I was honestly quite...
Ooh, wow. Okay. Like, I'm actually shocked by that. Okay, wow.
I don't know. Like, they look really, really good, but I'm just thinking maybe we've... Well, to be fair, obviously, MacArthur and Central Coast both had Europe... Well, not Europe, sorry. Asia to balance with last season. And I'm so used to talking about that. But obviously they, like, cause that was my sort of thing holding me back a little bit with Sydney. It's like, yeah, obviously they're going to be balancing that at the same time too. It's going to be maybe a bit hard. I think their squad, it's a little thin, especially in defense. Going forward, they're actually a little bit better, but they're very, very, very thin in defense. So that was holding me back a little bit. I'm just like, you know, maybe good an point. Injury here, injury there. I don't know. They maybe fall back a bit, but I feel like they're a team that maybe, like, regular season, I definitely think they're going to finish finals. Like, if they don't, I'd be very surprised. But I think maybe regular season they'll finish a little bit lower. But I think when it comes to sort of finals competing for the championship, I honestly think, yeah, they could definitely be favorites there, if that makes any sense. I don't know. I think they're going to be a little hard to get through there. But I don't know. I really like them as a team, though. I think they're building well. And yeah, Joe Lolley and Costa sort of on either wing, it's eye-watering.
Okay, so... Me and Petr obviously taking the over because of our reactions to you staying under, I assume. Petr?
Yeah.
Are you locking it like me too?
Oh yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Just the first thing I want to say is that I'm happy that our opinions don't overlap a lot, because that would have made the podcast a bit boring.
True.
Yeah, I have Sydney finishing top, and I'm definitely walking that one.
Oh wow!
I've been really bullish about the prospects of that team under Talai ever since he joined, and I remember tweeting like almost half a year ago that they could be challenging for all trophies this season. And yeah, obviously they didn't win the cup, but I don't think that was basically, that wasn't the team that's going to be starting round one. And based on the squad alone, I think that squad's one of the best squads we've seen over the last 5 years in the league. And especially in the final third, I thought maybe they'll find some random striker that could score. Maybe he can't, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But I think Klimao will be scoring a lot of goals. I don't think his overall games, like, he's not Bruno Fornaroli. I don't think you'll see him, like, picking the ball up in the, like, turning with two defenders on his back or stuff like that. But inside the box with the deliveries of Costa and Loli, I think he's going to be really clinical. And when you add the way they played last season and maybe the fact that they will evolve a bit, one, due to the departure of Drilic, and two, due to the fact that maybe they won't be able to press that intensely due to the personnel that they have, I think they'll be top. I just feel fairly confident in that. Everything happens. I don't want to be like, I don't want to say they'll go unbeaten, but I think for me, they're favorites.
Yeah, I completely agree with Petr. I've got them over lock and top. I'll start with two things that could nullify that. One thing we haven't spoken about is the goalkeeper. I think it's a fair point to bring up with Andrew Redmayne as to kind of, like where he's at. Because, you know, I watched the game recently against Kaya in the Champions League, the Champions League 2, and obviously had that mistake for the goal. But it's not an isolated incident. You know, he's had a few gaffes, I feel, in the last sort of, towards the end of the last season, second half of the season, and then now heading into this season. But I think, Jake, you make a good point too about the squad depth defensively, because you know, if Ryan Grant was to go down, like, I mean, Ryan Grant, to be fair, like, when has he actually gone down for an extended period in his career? But if he was to, like, are you confident in a Zach DeJesus to actually, like, fill that role for an extended period? Maybe not. Who knows? So what I would say, though,
quickly, even in centre back, though, like, I think there especially, it's like you've got Popovic and Matthews. Like, by the way, Hayden Matthews he's going to be like stocks, invest in him right now. But anyways, so you've got Popovic and Matthews, and then after there, it's like you don't really have anyone. Like, we've seen Joel King
play. It's like Aaron Gerd.
Aaron Gerd. It's really weird to see him sort of insist with, like, to be fair, I actually really like Courtney Perkins as a left back, but he's been playing King's the center back and Courtney Perkins as the left back. But point being is, like, especially in center back, like, they've got two players there. I don't even think Gerd's playing over a year. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I think,
It's definitely an area of concern. But on the other side, like, what Petr's talking about with the squad, midfield wise, and in the attacking areas, I mean, Jesus Christ, this team is very exciting. Like, there was actually, so when, excuse me, Anas Awahim, I think I've got that right, Awahim, yep. He came off the bench in that Champions League 2 game and completely changed the game. But then they actually had, it was like him, Senna, and Caceres out there, I think, all at the same time. And it was just like, wow, you just got three guys who are all really technical, who have all got the ability to play forward, good in tight spaces. Like, it's just kind of three really, really good midfielders, some of the better ones in this league. And then going forward, I agree with Petr. I think Klamala's going to score a lot of goals this year. And Costa, he looks fit. I think he looks, like, fine, like, ready to go, which is great for them. And Loli's obviously, going to be fantastic. The only thing with Loli is, can he take more chances and score a few more goals this year? And then off the bench, though, you've got, like, Max Burgess, is a fantastic, fantastic player who could start for a lot of clubs. They've also got Kucharski in another year. You've got Nathan Manatidis, scored his first senior goal recently. Who knows what contribution we could see from him this year? And then another one is Adrian Segicic, we haven't even spoken about yet, coming back from a loan spell away. And also, we should mention young Thiago Quintal, who's really highly rated. and could burst onto the scene at one point. I mean, in the attacking areas, particularly out wide, they have got a shit ton of depth. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating, Petter, to see this attack fully fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, just I feel I can talk about like for 10 minutes for like basically all the players that Sydney have, because looking for from a different perspective, you mentioned Segicic. Imagine if Segicic was a foreigner and he's coming from the second division in the Netherlands, where he's played 20 odd games, and the expectations would be then. And now we're looking at Segicic as like some like third hand player, quote unquote. Like, he's not even expected to start games, and he's a fantastic talent. I think he has a lot of potential. I remember, I think it was at the start of last season, The Athletic wrote an article about him. So, yeah, he's highly rated amongst Australians and European clubs. So, on Ouahim, I think we mentioned Milanovic as a potential Johnny Warren medalist. I think Ouahim has that potential as well. I'll throw that in. I think if he stays fit, I think he can be a big difference maker. In terms of the defense, just finally, I just wanted to say that depth's a fair argument, but I think a lot of people are looking at Popovic and Matthews like unsure of because of their experience, but I think at leagues, with all due respect, I love the A-League, it's the best league in the world, but leagues that are at this level, I think experience can be a bit overrated. Like, if you're good enough, I think you are good enough. And we saw it with Matthews. Even Gerwald Reich last year, he even wasn't a center back, but the way these two played together for, say, 15 games, they were brilliant.
Oh, and unbelievable.
I think Popovic is even an upgrade in that position.
Also, just one last thing was like, Corey Holman, it looks like he'll be like on the outer of this team. But I thought out of possession, pressing-wise, last year, he was one of the keys to unlocking that with Sydney last year. So, yeah. They also got Patrick Wood coming back from injury, just another option. So, yeah, a lot of depth. So really, really intrigued, and don't let me and Petter down because we've locked you in to finish top. Okay.
Yeah, actually, you guys convinced me. I didn't realize the
I've got it down in writing. You took the under.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, all City FC fans. I was probably too focused on that depth, and honestly, quickly, I just remembered as well, Popovic is only on loan for the first half of the season too. Like, he's gone back in January too, which is something important to note too. So maybe they'll replace him. But anyways, yeah, I think that depth, that's ridiculous. Like, honestly, just looking at it now, written down, the depth chart there, yeah. I think they have to be, competing. Oh, my God.
If one of these Sydney defenders go down, like, early in the season for a long period, Jake's going to, like, send it to me and Petter and be like, ah, see, told
fingers
you so.
Fingers crossed not. We are not. Touch wood or whatever. Yeah.
Well, speaking about top-heavy teams, Melbourne Victory is next. Melbourne Victory's over-under is third. That's where they finished with Tony Popovic last year. Jake, you're the Melbourne Victory guy, I think, sort of. In the over or the under?
Yeah, I have over. I have them currently first, but again, I'm just not sold on anyone winning the league. I just, at this point, I don't know, especially after hearing about Sydney like that, I'm like, man, like that.
Honestly, you're just not excited. You're just not.
Yeah. No, I do like Victory a lot. I do like Victory. I was probably a lot more keen on them a week or two ago before all of this debacle with the Australia Cup. I think it's making me a little worried about Kis Norbo and, you know, is he going to be able to win back sort of the Victory fans, because it's not started well. Like, you know, he's almost immediately sort of turned a lot of fans away. However, I feel like he's very strong-minded. I think he'll prove them wrong. Like, Kis Norbo, I think he's the real deal. I think people, you know, will look at his time in France and sort of make a big judgment on that. I don't know. I think in the A-League, what the work he did with Melbourne City was unbelievable. Like, I think it has conversation to be, like, up there with Ange. Like, Ange obviously is the GOAT, but I think his Norbo has a real conversation to be second, like best coach teams. They were ridiculous. So yes, the resources were great. But anyways, I really like how he's building with Victory. I think another issue with Victory a little bit is depth. I don't think their depth is also amazing, especially again, or maybe probably more holding midfield areas, a little bit inexperienced there. And even at centre back, for example, you've got like sort of Hamill and Miranda behind them, like Rawlins, who's not really familiar there. But I don't know. I think Kisnorbo is the real deal. He's a very good coach. I really like how he's setting up. We're sort of that, again, we're talking about it. I wrote an article on it as well, you know, again, self-promotion. But so that three back, the way they're typed to play, I like it a lot. But yeah, I don't know. I have them now first. I think they'll definitely be a contender. But yeah, I'm not necessarily sold on them winning the Premiership, but I honestly have no idea. This is why this is the best league in the world. No one has any idea who's going to do what. But
so you're taking the over. So you're taking the over, but you're not locking that.
Yeah, definitely not a lock.
Yeah,
but
over. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Petter.
It's crazy with Victory because I feel like it's either going to be fantastic or terrible. Like there's no middle ground, and I feel like if they had won that final, even if the Arzani Gate incident happens,
Arzani Gate,
the narrative would be different. I mean, they had so many chances in that final. They score like two or three goals, and the narrative around Kisnorbo would be completely different. I agree with Jake. I think he's a very good coach for this level. I think that city team. There was one period, I think, in his second season after New Year. They were absolutely flying. I'll definitely remember that team for a while. They were, yeah. So honestly, in my first time when I did my table prediction, I had them second, so slight over. I think they finished third last year, right?
Yeah.
So I had them second, and I'm not confident at all. I'd say it depends a lot on maybe if it was another club, I don't think narratives are that important. But with Victory, I think it is important. And I think the fans' reaction to results is very important. And the way Kisnorbo deals with the media and the outside stuff around the club will be important too. Because, yeah, he's a tough guy to deal with. And I hope he resolves the problem, quote unquote, with Arzani, because Arzani was brilliant last year. So I think if they can shake hands and deal with this, I think they can be really good. If they don't and things start with some mediocre results, I think it can go bad too.
So Petter and I are once again in exact agreement. I'm taking the over and second with Victory too. I think we're echoing all three of us the same concerns here about, I think Kisnorbo is the type of coach that wants to go into a setup, basically rip things apart, and this is, you know, this is how we're doing things now. This is our style. And if you're not suited to it, or I don't want you, essentially, then, you know, I'm going to either replace you or phase you out, you know. And that's where I think if you get results early, no problem. No one will care. If you don't, then there's going to be issues. Yeah. And that's where, you know, so hopefully Virgos hits the ground running, gets on the score, you know, gets goals early, because then people aren't going to talk about Bruno Fornaroli not playing, for example. Hopefully Arzani not playing, but Volupele and this new Brazilian winger and Piscopo maybe contributing means that no one will care about Arzani not playing. Like, that's the type of things which, for his sake, you're going to hope now they go his way. Otherwise, yeah, like you're saying, Petter, the media, the narratives, they're all just going to follow and surround that. Like I already said, I think, Jake, when we're talking about the Australia Cup final, like come round two, obviously Arzani's suspended for round one, but round two, all the talk is going to be, you know,
yeah,
it's surrounding that lineup. Is Arzani starting? Is Arzani starting? What's going on? You know, so very interesting. I think in saying that, he has an ability to get. We saw it at City. But, you know, one of the cases, I think, for this is what we did see at City with him was he had a good, talented group of players and he was able to get them to play a really, really attractive style of football and do it consistently week in, week out. Well, I think where there's parallels here is that it is a good, talented group of players. So, and it is a club still with expectation. I think there's different fan pressure, obviously, which comes with Melbourne V3 compared to Melbourne City. We have to admit that. But in terms of squad building, it is quite a top-heavy squad. Again, like you've got Valupole, Piscopo. They've just signed the Santos 23-year-old winger. Arzani, like basically two of those four have to miss out on a starting spot every week. Are the two who miss out going to be okay with that? Then you've got, you know, Mashash should probably, well, should definitely be starting every week. But that means that, you know, I guess, is Piscopo going to be out of the lineup? Yeah, probably. But then Piscopo might be thinking, I've just come from Newcastle to come into a new environment and get minutes. Like, there's all this sort of stuff with Victory.
Well, even up front, it's like, seems Fornaroli is going to be, like benched all season. I don't really see him getting past Virgos. Like, he seems very keen on Virgos. Then you even have Jing Rees, who they just signed, who, you know, I was thinking was going to be the backup. But yeah, it's, there's so much depth up top. It's insane.
But it's almost like, for me, I'm actually less worried about how they're going to play and their ability to play a decent style and form an identity. I'm more worried about how happy, what's the happiness, I guess, of that squad going to be throughout the season.
Yeah.
And are the players who are put in certain roles in terms of their minutes going to accept that? That's probably my main sticking point with them at the moment. But I think there's enough quality there. We've already seen with Valupole that it looks like he's going to take a leap this year, for example. You know, I think someone like Rawlins is a good signing for this level. Yeah, I think there's a lot of good things still around Victory to take the over. One thing, Pet, I want to ask you, and I'm really mindful of time, if you wanted to keep it brief, but because Norbert Twas, I'm sure you probably watched a few games, potentially, maybe not. If you did, like, what did you notice? Was there anything you think hopefully he's learnt coming back into the A-League?
I think it was a tough job to start with. Like, I didn't follow him weekly there. I watched a couple of games, especially at the start. I think the squad was like, he didn't have the best squad in terms of first profiles and second availability. I think he was left with to scrap with like fairly average players for that level, which is unfortunate considering they had someone like Savinho, but they never really had him. Like, he was there owned by the club, but they never really had him. And I think they actually signed him in the same window when PK went there, which is funny because he was forced to work with players that they were basically League Two quality. So their second tier quality. But one thing that struck me was that he made a decent amount of formation changes there, something that we didn't see with City, and I think that's not him. I think he's someone that wants to focus on plan A, be like Jake said, that's our style, play this style. We are going to be the best with this type of style. And in France, I think he was pressured by the media and fans, and I think he just succumbed to it, and he changed. He played with the back three, with the back four, with the back three again. He basically, I don't think he settled both in terms of his personal life and his football there.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. I think I have to second that. I think he's just a better coach when he just tries to make plan A better. I think we all think that. So let's see if he sticks to his principles throughout the season with Victory. Okay. We're about to now talk about my favorite coach in the league, Wellington. So I've been looking forward to this one. Wellington's over-under is second. I think it's going to be an interesting one. Jake, What are you taking for the over under?
I have them equal, so second again. It's okay, so it's them and Central Coast, which I think are honestly the hardest teams by far to predict, because on paper, and it was the exact same last season, on paper, they're honestly probably some of the worst of squads if you look right now, like, because it's just full of just players you just don't know, haven't recognized, don't have that reputation yet, but it's like they have the two best coaches arguably in the league, you know, Mark Jackson. Well, we'll talk about Central Coast later, but Giancarlo Italiano, you know, the way he revolutionized their team last season. For example, I think Costa Barbarossa is going from one of the most average, so just aging strikers to one of the best in the league is like, how, like, where does that happen? Like, that's ridiculous. So I think he's got some magic powers and we might see it again this season.
This is actually a question for both of you. Have you been reading the Italiano quotes in preseason? It's actually making me froth at the mouth. Like, I'm so excited to watch this team. It's like,
well, I've heard about a system change of whatnot, which will be interesting, especially sort of making all the players fit. Because, well, for example, there's the two Japanese players that seem like midfielders. They'll be interested to see how they work. Obviously, Kolakowski, that's the one we just touched on before. I think he has the potential to be like a key figure in their attack. And even Barbarossa, it seems like it's like, is Barbarossa good now? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just sort of confusing him. I'm assuming he is, but it's like, what if he just goes back to what it was before? I don't know. But yeah, so it's, I feel like they're a team that either could be, again, competing to win the league, or they're just not going to be good. And maybe it's a bit of a one-off, and I don't know. But I feel like they're going to be competing again. I think Giancarlo Italiano is the real deal. He's an unbelievable coach. And yeah, but I think, it could either, like, you know how we're saying there's a range? I feel like it's either one of the best or one of the worst, not in the middle. That's my prediction with Wellington, but we'll see.
Petter?
Glad that you mentioned the quotes from preseason, because I think that's one of the things that I'm not even that confident on the team, but when I hear those quotes, I'm just like, bro, this is my hipster brother.
Exactly,
right there.
Exactly, man. Like, it's like, what did he say? He was talking about, like, we're going to evolve our football and we're looking for more. Like, you know, have you noticed how, like, by far more than any other coach in the league, he is happy to actually talk about his basically tactics and actually be a bit more open about, yeah, we're going to use him here, we're going to use him like this, you know, which is really refreshing.
Yeah, I just feel like he's like, way too interested in that part of the game, and he just, by saying those things, he tries to ignore the basic random questions that everyone gets asked. He just wants to talk about it, and that's super cool, man. I like, who was the last guy that wanted to talk tactics with, like, the Australian press? Well,
I want him to come to Melbourne, because every single press I ask, I'd like to ask those questions, because that's what I love.
Well, do you know, so
I get the opposite.
Yeah, well, Caden from FPF asked him last year in a presser about, you know, like, his kind of style of football, or like where he sees the team moving forward. And he started, he basically name dropped De Zerbi and the Brighton 4-2-4 build up and stuff. And it was just like, man, if we're working our way to that this year, then I'm in big time. You know,
I actually had a conversation with a guy from their coaching staff. We don't want to drop names, but he basically said to me that, like, Chief is more the De Zerbian type of coach, while Adam Griffiths, his assistant coach, is basically more a Sarri type of coach. So they basically merging their philosophies, they get the best out of both worlds. First in terms of build-up, and second in terms of defending, both pressing and actual defending. So I'm really intrigued to see how they will evolve, if they will evolve this season, because I do expect more emphasis on possession and not slow build-up, because they did a lot of slow build-up, but I don't think they'll be soaking up as much pressure as they did last year. I simply expect a lot more aggressive pressing for them this year. In terms of the finish, I'm basically incredibly confused when it comes to Wellington. I I have a slight. I'll take the slight under on them. I have them fourth, but I don't think they'll have a bad season or a worse season. I just think, like you guys said, the league will be much more competitive this year, and I think they will be in and around the top three for the majority. I think they could finish higher. Just not sure in regards to Wellington and Central Coast, as Jake said. They just I need to watch more of them to confirm what I think about them.
Yeah. So if Italiano is actually listening to this podcast, no one here is thinking you're going to finish bottom. So you don't need to post it somewhere in the Wellington change rooms. I'm going to take the slight under. Petter, I'm going to go third for Wellington. I think they might have some teething issues because, yeah, I think I agree with you, Petter. I think they're going to look to be more on the front foot this year, get on the ball more. And I think the two Japanese signings they've made are going to help that in particular, in Ishige and Nagasawa. And then I think with adding Kolakowski and Rojas is to have maybe better players between the lines a little bit too, and also to make them a little bit more of a vertical threat, potentially a bit more dynamic too. We're just speculating. We're going to have to really see it in the first couple of games. I guess one argument for them could be that against them is that Paulson saved so many points last year that now the new Nigerian goalkeeper, Oluwayemi. Yep, there we go. If he's not at the same level, you know, if there's concerns about that, could basically some of the chances they gave up last year turn into goals? Petter, do you have an opinion on Oluwayemi as a goalkeeper? Of course, he was actually in Tottenham setup when he was younger too. So
and in a Chris MD video, most importantly.
Okay.
That's an interesting one I want to mention too, because I think the difference in profile between the two keepers, Paulson and Joshua Oluwayemi, is a good indication of the way they want to change their style. Because Paulson, fantastic shortstopper, tall, good reflexes, that's great. But Oluwayemi is basically the living and breathing sweeper keeper. He's someone that likes to play high, something that Jake mentioned. I think that's a great point that Paulson, he's very good all around, but he wasn't someone that's going to sweep in high, go clear a header from a long ball or something like that. Oluwayemi is someone that likes to play high, similarly to Martin Frick, likes to play as a situational center back in position, and his passing stats from his previous club are pretty ridiculous, like accuracy, long balls, breaking lines. He's a fantastic passer. His shot stopping numbers are nowhere near Paulson, but his passing numbers are really impressive. I think the scouting work done there is really, really good.
Yeah, and there's clearly an emphasis on recruiting versatility, which Italiano has actually said, like, they've basically done that, because like Paolo Retre as an example too, another versatile player. So that's the other thing too, like it probably won't even be one system. We could actually see them interchange between two or three over the course of the season. That would be probably my prediction with that. But I think I went the slide under because they probably will have some teething issues early on, like adjusting to a new system and because I think it will be a new system. And playing a little bit of a different style. So they might start a little bit slow. It could be like a Mariners situation last year where they start a little bit slow and then eventually it kind of clicks together. But that's the other thing. If we're doing like a kind of Wellington-Auckland comparison, like Auckland can make as many signings as they want. Like I'm still backing my guy Chiefy, and I think they're going to still have a better season than Auckland. So, yeah. Okay. So Jake said same, and me and Petter took the slide under for Wellington. Okay, we're finally at our last team. The Central Coast Mariners, the treble winners, the back-to-back champions, and I guess would it be a mistake to write them off again. Jake, the Mariners, like we said at the start, they finished first last year, so we can either say they're going to finish first again or take the under. What did you go with?
Yep. So I've gone under. Obviously, yeah, you can't be remain under. But anyways, yeah, I have them around fourth for now. It's hard for me to say. I feel like, personally, I feel like Wellington will maintain their sort of quote-unquote overachieving of expectations a little better than Central Coast this season. I just have a feeling. From what we've seen so far, it's not been great, but at the same time, it was very similar to how I started last season with Mark Jackson. They had a really, really poor start, didn't look great. I think there was a lot of doubts around them and obviously became ridiculously good. Yeah, but again, it's happened. I think, to be fair, like we've sort of you talked on with Wellington, a lot of teething issues at the moment with the Mariners. The Cup performance was very poor. I'm going to be real. I didn't think they played very well. The Champions League, I thought in the first game they played all right and actually got a bit unlucky against Shandong. But yeah, against Buriram, just got outclassed. Terrible performance in the Mariners. Probably one of the worst I've seen for a while. But to be fair, that's because they've been so good. But yeah, it was like an actual poor performance. Like, wow, like I forgot the Mariners can do this. You know what I mean? They've just been so good for so long. But yeah, I think especially the goalkeeping situation is really interesting to me. So if they had Danny Vukovic over the past couple of seasons, he's been excellent, you know, despite being, you know, so old. Like, it's pretty ridiculous to be, you know, that good at, you know, late 30s, pushing 40s, like full credit to him. But yeah, so now they've brought in Pavlicic mainly, who's been playing there. And I think in every single game, he's made a mistake. He's just not been very good. So there's a bit of a, like, yeah, do you drop him? Do you, because they've got Wachowski, who I remember he had one chance and he also made a mistake last season. So there's sort of being, okay, does Dylan Praich Cullen, who's I think only 18 years old from Canberra. So he's going to potentially be one there to get a chance. Who knows?
But well, I saw someone talking on Twitter, some sort of conversation yesterday or something. I think it was Aussie Scout and it was someone.
Yeah, was
under one of your tweets?
Not sure which tweet was it, but I think it was Martin Mariner and yeah, they were just talking about it.
Yeah, they were talking about the goalkeeper situation, but someone said that the feeling might be from Jackson that it's still up for grabs, essentially, between all the goalkeepers. So that could even bring in Jaya Janovic, who's the Joey's keeper. That could bring in...
Oh, 16, that'd be insane.
That would. I mean, I don't know. That would be insane. You wouldn't think so, but I'm not like out on Pavlicic. I think a lot of people are just kind of like seeing a couple of errors and, oh God, like, you know, maybe he's just not, he's still adjusting to being a starting keeper, you know? So, so yeah, you took the under on the Mariners.
I'll come back to a little bit later in terms of the individual players, but
yeah that's fine. So you take the under. Well, me and Petter said Sydney are going to win finish first. So obviously we'll both take the under and none of us are locking it.
Yeah.
Oh, are you going to lock it, Petter?
No. I think I used my locks already. MacArthur, Sydney, and which one was it? The last time I locked, I think, was West.
Yeah, that's right. It was MacArthur, Sydney, and Perth.
Perth, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, so you use three. I use two locks. Yeah, we'll do it at the end. I'll recap it. I actually agreed with Jake. I had them fourth too. Yeah. So under and fourth with Wellington. I think he made an interesting point about how Wellington are more likely to keep overachieving. And I think it's because they haven't had to deal with the massive squad turnover like the Mariners have now dealt with for another season. So there's just less...
Somewhat.
Like, there's still been some squad turnover, to be fair. Like, I'm probably forgetting the fact that...
Sermon, Paulson,
or them. But I feel there's still a spine that is recognisable with, like...
I'd agree.
The Wooten, the Rufa, sort of Barbarousas, you know? Whereas the Mariners, there is still some of those elements. But, you know, now you're hoping... Yeah. Like someone like Alfie McAlmont has to be, you know, a Max really Ballard. Good. Yeah, yeah. Like he has to be able to replace Josh Nisbet. If he can't, then that kind of makes them a slightly worse team already. So that was kind of part of my thinking there. I think Jackson, again, we spoke about Italiano, one of my favorite coaches in the league. I think he'll, if, if, I don't know if they change from the system they used last year with the box midfield. They might. I'm not sure. But I would have confidence in him to find a system that is going to work consistently well with this squad to get the results they need to still be a decent team. And as we've learned over the last 3 years, do not bet against the Mariners. So, yeah, I'm not. Petr, what's your thoughts on them?
Yeah, I have them finishing third. I think between Victories, Mariners and Phoenix, I think they can interchange those like finals positions. But the point you both made, I think what's something that's important to mention is that it's maybe related to the fact that this Mariners squad probably they already reached the peak of their project and now they're maybe going slightly down while Wellington are still building towards that peak. And I think it's really, really hard to sustain success when every year you lose basically your best players, maybe top three players in the squad. So yeah, I'm a massive, massive, massive fan of Mark Jackson. So I do expect them to compete. I think the Pavlicic thing, I don't like judging young keepers early. It's something that people have a tendency to do and call out keepers regardless of their age. But when we talk about young keepers, we should keep in mind that just mentally, it's really hard at this age to deal with errors. And sometimes when you make one error, they just keep on coming. So I don't think the errors that Pavlicic has made, I don't think they should be used as a weapon against him. He can be a good keeper and still make an error. It's important to just build on that and improve slowly or rapidly, depends on himself. But I think in terms of the squad, yeah, they lost. They basically lost the Johnny Warren medalist. It will be hard to replace him. Max Bauer, another one. I think he was consistently underrated. Now maybe slightly overrated based on the move to Europe. But he's a fantastic player. I love him. I think he deserves to be in the current Socceroos squad. Maybe he will be in the future. And in terms of incomings, I think what was the name of the Brazilian player? Feijão?
Feijão, yeah. I was going to ask you.
Think he's another one that should get a bit of time. I've just been laughing at Twitter for the last 3 years. It's basically the same story every time. It's Marco Tilio comes in, he has two slow games, he's terrible, what's he doing here? Blah, 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 blah. And he's like 10 games in, he's like a magician. Same with Docker. I think people were calling Docker a player that shouldn't be playing NPL level. And post New Year, he was like, for me, after New Year, he was the best player in the league. And the guy's a fullback playing as a number 10. At stages, like not all the time, but he's fantastic, really. So I think the new signings should be given time. I think we can expect more from Ryan Edmondson. I think I know for a fact that when he came, he was unfit. He did play a lot, but he was not in peak condition. And I think in that grand final, we saw what he can do. And McCalmont, I think he's another one. I think profile-wise, he's more similar to Ballard, despite looking more like Nisbet. But he'll probably play a bit deeper. So
yeah,
I think they've done well to replace their good players. I just don't think they can instantly reach the peaks that they reached last year.
And I should mention they've got Miguel DiPizio coming in now off the back of scoring a grand final goal. You know, it'd be really interesting to see if he kicks on this year. And I think Arthur de Lima is a young player who's an interesting one to keep an eye on. He had a really good end to the NPL season in New South Wales. And he basically single-handedly kept the Mariners NPL team up in the NPL. So he could break out too. Moragas has looked good early for the Mariners. Looks like they've you know, just stolen him essentially from the Jets. So looking forward to seeing how he goes. They're still going to be intriguing anyway, because all of these new signings, seeing how they're going to work. And if they, I think Petter makes a good point about them coming towards the end potentially of a project, but let's see if maybe Jackson has something up his sleeve to rejuvenate it a little bit. Okay, that's it. We've gone through every single team. It's now 13, which makes these things longer. But yeah, we had to, of course, before the season, talk about each team and give our thoughts. So a quick recap of the over-unders for each team. So we started with Auckland. The over-under was 6th. Jake took the under. I took the under. And Petter said they would finish 6th. He said neither. Perth were next. Over-under was 12th. Jake said they would stay the same. And me and Petter both said over, and we locked the over for Perth. Western United, over and under, over and under? Over under of 11th. Jake said they'd stay the same. I said they'd stay the same. Petter said under. The Jets, 10th as an over under. Jake said they'd stay the same. Me and Petter went under. The Raw, over under of 9th. Jake went under and locked it, and me and Petter went under, not locked. Phoenix? No. Who was next? Adelaide was next. I've got it written down next. That's why. Adelaide was next, over and under of 8th. Jake went under, I went over, and Petter said they'd stay the same. So total disagreement on that one. Wanderers, over and under of 7th. Jake went over and locked it. Petter went over, I went under. City, over under of 6th. Jake and Petter went under. I said they'd be the same. MacArthur, over under of 5th. Jake went under. Petter went under with the lock. And I said they'd stay the same. Sydney, over under of 4th. Jake went under. And me and Petter went over with the lock to finish first. So don't let us down. Talay's Sydney. And the victory, 3rd, over under. We all went over, but no one locked. And then last two teams, Wellington, over under of 2nd. Jake said they'd be the same. And me and Petter went for the slight under. And then the Mariners, all three of us took the under. Their over under, well, of course, was 1st because they finished there last year. So, yeah, me and Jake only used 2 locks. Petter used 3. Let's keep an eye out. So me and Petter, I've got a keen eye on Perth and Sydney this year to make sure that they go over. And Petter is rooting for MacArthur's downfall, whilst Jake is hoping that the Wanderers make finals and are a very exciting team to watch.
Yep.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not rooting for their downfall. I just think they're not as good as people believe.
Yeah. Nah. Just having a laugh. Any other thoughts on anything we discussed from you two?
Yeah, I think we need a couple more hours if we want to go through everything. But yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, 100%. It's a lot. I don't know why, but this year it just feels like there's a lot of things to discuss. I think maybe teams are getting a little bit more interesting, maybe tactically. That might be it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the recruitment's been interesting too, I think. I think it's been a lot of recruitment, but different types of recruitment, like young foreigners coming in now too. So yeah, very, very interesting. Okay.
Asian players as well.
Yep. Asian players we've seen, like even Brisbane with a bit of like a Southeast Asian sort of vibe to their recruitment too. So yeah, very, very interesting. And it all starts this weekend. Just a recap of the fixtures, of course, the grand final rematch is up first on Friday night. And this is all, I'm going to say it's all in Australian Eastern Daylight Time, just so everyone is aware. Mariners victory kicks it off on Friday night, 7:30. And then on the Saturday, we've got Auckland and Brisbane at 3, followed by the Jets and City at 5. There's 3 games on Saturday. Of course, the Sydney Derby between the Wanderers and Sydney FC, Mata versus Costa on Sunday to round out the round. Wellington face Western United at 2 o'clock, and MacArthur Perth follows that at 4 o'clock. Adelaide United, of course, have the bye first up in round 1. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Front Page Football Podcast. Thanks to Jake and Petta for Jake for staying up this late than me to talk football, and Petta for taking his day off to join us for what is now close to 3 hours to talk about every single team in the league. And you're overseas. You really must love this league, man.
Yeah, probably the longest podcast episode I've ever done, actually. It was really fun. I enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad, because we've got a tendency of just talking for way too long. So, yeah, going to have to cut this one down in the editing a little bit, I think. But, yeah, nah, awesome stuff. Make sure, if you're listening, get down to your games this weekend. Go watch your local A-League team and really get behind the league in round one, because I think this league is as unpredictable as it's ever been. It's its 20th year. Another installment of what is the brilliant, stupid league that is the A-League. So make sure you're tuning in this weekend. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. We'll be back again next week to talk and review round one. But until then, it's bye for now.